Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That was a great introduction to the next scripture reading, which comes to us from Luke chapter 3, the first six verses. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are in our beloved season when we retell the Christmas story in worship, in our Bible studies and classes, and in our special music offerings. Many of us also have the joy of sharing this story with the children in our lives. So when you think of the Christmas story, where does it begin? Perhaps you picture Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, or the angelic announcement to the shepherds. Others might go back further to Gabriel's astonishing message to Mary, or even to Zechariah and Elizabeth, whose prayers for a child were answered in the birth of John the Baptist. Each moment is a thread in the larger tapestry of God's work, a story that calls us to prepare, to trust, and to believe in the fulfillment of God's promises. At its best, it is a story that involves us. and our availability to how God's Spirit might work through us, ordinary people, to help the world prepare for the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. In today's scripture passages, Mary and John the Baptist embodied this call to prepare. Mary's response to Gabriel's life-altering news and John's voice crying out in the wilderness both show us that preparation for God's promise isn't about having every answer or seeing the full picture. It's about trusting God's faithfulness, even when the way forward is unknown, and being open to God's Spirit working with our own. Last week, we began the season of Advent, which is a season of preparation, by lighting the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope, to remind us of the promise that God is faithful. God's hope sustains us in the waiting, whether we are Zechariah and Elizabeth longing for a child, Mary waiting to see how God's plan unfolds, or a church discerning its future in a season of transition. Today we lit the second candle, the candle of peace. Peace that is more than the absence of conflict, but a sense of wholeness and restoration that comes from God's presence. This is the peace Mary found when she said, "Let it be with me according to your word." It is the peace that John the Baptist proclaimed when he prepared the way for Jesus. And it is the peace we are invited to receive and embody during Advent as we open our spirits to what God is bringing forth. Let's take a closer look at the first scripture reading that describes Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel, arguably one of the most profound moments of trust in scripture. Imagine the scene. A young woman, likely in her teens, suddenly confronted with the news that she will bear a child, and no ordinary child, but the Savior of the world. Mary's initial reaction is understandable. She's troubled, and she asks, "How can this be?" Her questioning resonates with us. How often do we find ourselves in situations where the path ahead feels uncertain? For Mary, the stakes were high. In her culture, an unplanned pregnancy could bring public shame, rejection, or worse. Yet after her initial hesitation, Mary responds with incredible faith and opens her spirit to what God is doing with words that seem to come from a place of deep peace. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." Mary's peace doesn't come from knowing all the details of God's plan. It comes from trusting that the one who calls her is faithful. This kind of peace can sustain us too, especially when we are in seasons of waiting and uncertainty. In the second reading from Luke 3, we meet John the Baptist, Mary's relative, who steps into his role as the one who prepares the way for Jesus. John proclaims a bold and challenging message: "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." He calls the people to repentance, urging them to clear away anything that hinders their relationship with God, their openness to what God is bringing forth. John's task wasn't easy. Scripture doesn't tell us explicitly how he felt about his mission, but we can imagine the weight of it. Did he ever wonder if he was making an impact, if people were even listening? He may even have struggled with self-doubt or worried about whether he was equipped to fulfill his calling. But John shows us something powerful. Preparing the way for God isn't about our abilities. It's about our availability. John made himself fully available to God's call, trusting that the Spirit would work through him to accomplish the task. As he stepped forward in trust and faith, I imagine that his spirit was filled with God's peace. Mary's and John's stories teach us that peace doesn't come from our circumstances, but from trusting the God who walks with us. Mary trusted even as she faced an uncertain future. John found peace in the wilderness, even as he prepared others for a Messiah yet to come. As a church in transition, we are invited to embrace that same peace. The search for a new pastor, while filled with unknowns, is not a journey we walk alone. God is present, guiding us, preparing us for what's next. God's peace anchors us as we discern, trust, and prepare together to open our spirits to what God surely is bringing forth. As Mary and John also remind us, God doesn't call us because of our abilities, but because of our availability. And when we open our hearts and spirits to God's work, the extraordinary becomes possible. Mary, a young woman from an obscure village, and John, a wilderness preacher, became central to God's plan and helped prepare the world for what God was bringing forth. This season of Advent preparation is not only about preparing for God's promise, it is about living into that promise here and now. Like Mary, we are called to say yes to God's plan, even when it challenges us. Like John, we are called to proclaim God's message, even when it requires courage. The second Sunday reflection of our Advent devotional, A Time for Wonder, puts it this way: being an available vessel grants us the privilege of being in constant collaboration with the Spirit at work within us. Partnering with God's Spirit in this way brings to us a deep peace, even when circumstances around us may be anything but peaceful. As we reflect on the light of the candles of hope and peace, we are reminded that God's promises are sure, God's peace is present, and God's Spirit is calling us to be a part of what God is bringing forth. As the season of Advent preparation continues, we recognize that it holds the tension between what is and what will be. It reminds us that God's promises are not only for the future, but are breaking into our lives, even now. So how is God calling you to prepare your heart this season? What might God be asking you to trust God with? Is your spirit open to what God might be bringing forth? Like Mary, may we have the courage to say, let it be with me according to your word. Like John, may we proclaim God's promise with boldness. And as a church, may we walk forward with hope and peace, trusting that God works through even us to help the world prepare for what God is bringing forth. In the name of our Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.